Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, I want to talk with us a little bit about a responsibility that we all have as believers. And I want to start off by just saying, you know, the Word of God, for those who believe, you know, the Word of God is our standard. You know, it reveals who God is, what He says, how He thinks, what's important to Him, how He responds to humanity and all of our difficulties and trials and life. We get to see how He treats people. We see it in the Old Testament. We certainly see it in the New Testament when Jesus comes and, you know, takes on human likeness and reveals to us what the Father's like. And He talks about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And we get to listen to that. And so there's so much in the Scripture that way that we're supposed to take and apply to our life and allow the Holy Spirit, who's inspired the Word of God, who's inspired people to write these things. It's why this word is so different than any other book, and it's living and active. And, you know, how do we understand it? How do we live this out? How do we transform? And the Holy Spirit is our helper and counselor in that, to do that in our lives. But, you know, the interesting thing is we get to read about a lot of people throughout the Bible. People that, you know, they had their faults, obviously, they're people. Things they did wrong, we learn from some what not to do. From others, we emulate their example. We get to read about their life and get these snippets of their humanity and how they respond to God, and they're wrestling with God sometimes. But we get to look at their example to us. We can look at Abraham, for example, and, you know, his faith in God, a God who, you know, he didn't get to see, but he believed, and he could hear God, and God would talk to him, and he would respond. I mean, to the point where his faith, to ready to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. The kind of faith where God calls Abraham to pack up and leave. Now, you and I, you know, if we go anywhere, we want to know where we're going, how long we're going to be there. We want to know the route we're going to take. We want to know about our accommodations, or where we're going to live. We want to know all of that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but when God called Abraham, he just said, pack up, head this direction, and said, I'll let you know when you get to where I want you to be. And Abraham, out of faith, packed up, made his way, and had that kind of faith in the Lord. I mean, we can look at Moses, a man who was thought he was born in the house of Pharaoh, and here he is, a Hebrew, and he finds out later his, you know, heritage and his identity, and he goes through this experience with the burning bush, and he has to deal with his past and how he was dealing with life and some of the actions he took out of his own will, and struggled through all of those things that we do as humans, and how God, you know, calls him and sends him, and he messes it up, and he goes and hides, and finding out that we can't run from God. He's already where we think we're going to go. You know, he's just, so Moses going through all this and learning then to be this leader of great compassion for God's people. Even though they murmured, they complained, they plotted against them, all of this, to the day where Moses leads them up to the brink of the promise and the fulfillment of God, and Moses walks off with God alone. You can look at King David, who all kings are measured by. And here's this man who's after God's own heart, and yet he commits a grave sin of adultery. And we look at his life and we learn how to repent. We learn how to go to God. We learn how to make changes and to be restored to God and to go through that process and be an example to us. We can go on into the New Testament, you know. We can, I don't know, look at Peter, who kind of failed in an hour of testing by denying the Lord. And yet we look at how Peter goes through the reinstatement process. And he becomes a great apostle in the early church. We can look at Paul, you know, a murderer of Christians, and then he has an experience with Jesus and has to leave his past that he remembers and the guilt of his past behind him and move on in this forgiveness of God and this call of God to carry on the gospel, who is inspired to write most of the New Testament for us. These people who are a great example. Paul writes this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He writes this to his son in the faith, not his biological son, but a son in the faith, a protege, a young man who's going to be very pastoral to people. And he writes this in verse 12. He says, "Don't let anyone despise you because you're young." He says, "But be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct." Some translations will say in life, in love, in faith, in purity. And he gives them the list of these few things. And we know it's not a conclusive list. It just gives Timothy the idea. Basically, it's all of your life. Be an example to the believers. And listen, when he says to Timothy, you know, be an example, don't let your youth be an excuse to not be an example. So, you know, years ago when I'd read this, I was thinking, well, that's for me because, you know, I'm young. Then in, you know, recent years, I realized, you know, that passage isn't just for youth. What Paul was doing is he was removing an excuse from Timothy's life where Timothy could say, I'm young, I don't have to be the example, they're not going to really look to me yet as a great example or a great leader because I'm young. And Paul says that's no excuse. What Paul's doing is he's removing an excuse from Timothy's life and calling him up to a standard that says, you be an example. And that's for every one of us in this place. See, that's what I want to talk about this morning is you and I, the call that we have to be an example. Example of God's grace, His mercy, His character, His virtue, what He's like. Just like when we read the pages of this book and we look at these heroes of the faith, if we can call them that, and people mentioned in this book, and we see, you know, man, that was so great that they did that. That was so wonderful that they acted like that. That's so marvelous that they responded like that. That was so great that they had faith like that. And we look at that and we pick these things from their life as a standard and as example to us. You and I are called to be an example. It doesn't matter if we were found by the Lord yesterday and responded in faith to Him, or we've walked with Him a long time, or we're young, or we're old, or we're somewhere in between in our late 30s, like myself. Listen, remove any excuse. My past is too dark. I don't speak very well. You know, you can go through any excuse you want, and I want you to hear the voice of the Lord, that none of those reasons are legitimate to not be an example. You and I are called to be an example. A revelation of who God is, that's the ultimate standard. I mean, we have to look at Jesus. We can look at biblical characters and we glean from, you know, their life and what God did in their life and the virtues that came out and the things that pleased God and that God responded to in their life. And we look at these and we can say, oh, I would like that. Or I'd like to be like this person. Or I think I'm kind of like this person. And that can be fun and, you know, a little bit of Christian entertainment in our life of dreaming redemptive thoughts of what we're like. But looking at their life and saying, there's this thing that I want to emulate. I want to be like that. That's the woman of God I want to be. That's the man of God I want to be. That's the disciple. I want that. I want that peace in my life. That's the kind of disciple I want to be. And we look at their examples. Paul writes it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and depending on your translation, for some, the translation will read, and when I was young, I thought this was kind of arrogant of Paul, but it was really my misunderstanding. And he says this, follow me. Do what I do, because I follow Jesus. And I used to think, well, I was a little kind of arrogant of Paul. And it wasn't arrogance. He was trying to convey to people, say, listen, follow Christ as I follow Christ. Like I follow him. I'm gonna be an example. He put himself out there. In some translations, it'll say, Paul says, follow my example, for I follow Christ. And in doing so, if people followed him, they're going to meet Jesus. Because he set that example. You and I are called to be an example like that. And I know that there's traps set in our minds and in our memories of what we said or what we did or what people might know about us that is improper for a Christian or before we became a follower of Christ. And so we kind of hide behind those things or we step in those traps that we think, well, I'd really like to be an example, but, you know, I'm aware of this in my life, or people are aware of this in my life. Listen, this gospel is about the transformation of a person. That the old has passed away, behold, all things are becoming new, and we're making a journey in faith, and we cannot use our past as an excuse not to be an example from this point forward in our life. That's the power of Christ. It speaks highly of his grace and of his mercy, of his forgiveness, of his purpose, of his will, of his ability to contend with us and conquer, and that we can be changed. We can be transformed. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul writes it this way, "Be imitators of God." Excuse me. Be imitators of God. And the verse goes on there, and I'm not going to quote all of that to you. But just this phrase of be imitators of God, I want you to think about your daily life. Because I don't want this to be just it's a great purpose, and I know I'm supposed to be an example, and that's the standard out there, but I want to bring this down to our daily life. Boy, I wish I could, at every moment, every turn of my life, that I would remember first, Randy, be an imitator of God. So that when, you know, stuff comes that can irritate us, poke us the wrong way, something happen, or we're just tired or sick or exhausted or whatever it is, and we just don't feel like we have the resource of God, that before we would respond or before we would say something, before we would allow an attitude to take root in us, that we would just say to ourselves, be an imitator of God. What is God like? And how can I, in this moment, act like him? I mean, wouldn't that be marvelous? Oh, life would be so much better for us. And for the people around us. He says, be imitators of God. I want you to know, we can't think that, well, I'm going to be out in public, so now I'll set an example. I'm going to put on the show. That's not how this works. You can fool people maybe for a little while or yourself. But you and I have to understand that being an example starts when we're alone. See, when we're alone and we're being an example with no audience, that starts to become who we are. And then when we step out of that and there's an audience of one or two or a multitude, we've already put in motion in the fabric of our life that we're going to imitate God in private. And now we don't have to think about putting on a show. We can be who God is making us to be in private, and it can be exposed in public. It's not about just being an example when there's someone to impact. It's being an example when we're alone. When I'm at the, workbench in the garage and something doesn't go right, do I throw a hammer or blow a gasket or have a fit? Late last night, I mentioned I've been sick. Late last night, I hear this heaving sound. It's not me. And I go, oh no. I mean, I'm trying to get ready for today. I've been resting. I've been trying to, knowing that today is gonna, be a little more demanding on, this sick body. And I go, oh no. My Mastiff, my Neapolitan Mastiff, threw up. Now, I want you to understand, when your Neapolitan Mastiff throws up, this isn't tear off a little half piece of paper towel and put it on the floor and dab it, and then spray Lysol and you're done. This is bring in the coal shovel. And see, I know when she does this. It's when she eats a sock. Because we have a lot of single socks in our house. And I've mentioned it to the two people who live with me. Can't leave a sock laying around. You got to close the door to the laundry room. So I'm not feeling well. I'm already tired. I'm thinking about today. And get her out of the room. Get her outside. Down the hallway, Sue's standing there. I said, you guys with your socks. You have to be careful because, like, in another week, I can't say you guys. Because my son's getting married and he is moving out. And they've been moving. He's been moving stuff out. They've been purging stuff and whatever else. And I was like, "Oh, you guys in your socks." Now, in that moment, I did not pause and think, "Randy, act like God." It was you guys in your socks. Well, I go back to clean it up, and by the way, it wasn't a sock. It was one of Brock's batting gloves, leather thing. It was in pieces. You know, to the dog, that's like rawhide. It's like leather, And, she can't always digest what we wear on our feet. That moment last night, I mean, this is not a big deal, okay? in the scheme of life, what's the big deal? But here it is, in the little practical things, it matters. Now, we have to do a little imagination here, and you do it in your own life, I'll do it in mine and show you how it works. I didn't want to cross a line, but I wanted to send a message. You guys in your socks. Sue could hear that. What if she wasn't there? How would have I walked down the hallway then? You guys, you never pick up your socks. What's wrong with you people? You're adults. And you see? You know. Imagine, I'm just imagining, would I have done that? See, being an example starts when we're alone and when we're private, so that we are filled with Him and become like Him, so that we can just be an example out of this supernatural change in a very natural way in the person who we're becoming. See, you and I are called to be examples in our life. One, because it pleases the Lord, and two, it's supposed to impact the people around us. You see, this book has been closed. There's not going to be more pages written. And yet, what might have been written about you if this book continued? What example would you have been in the book of Bill? The book of Jesse. What book? This about you. What happened? The kind of person and what could people glean? You see, we're not in the pages, but we get to live it out before people around us every day. I know life is hard. It's much harder than, you know, dog vomit. Cleaning it up. Paul writes to Timothy, he says it in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, endure hardship. What you and I have to grasp is when hardship comes to our life, that does not release us from the responsibility to still be an example. I think of my dad, who had a stroke this last spring. He's to be an example in the middle of his hardship. His hardship does not release him from the responsibility of being an example of how to endure hardship. You and I in our life, when hardship comes, and it comes and goes, hardship comes, it does not release us from being an example of the standard of Christ in our life. The writer of Hebrews said this, talking about Jesus, for the joy set before him, Jesus, he, Jesus, endured the cross with all its scorn and its shame. He endured. The cross did not release Jesus from being an example still. He was an example even on that cross. You know, you and I are called to be an example in life, in purity, in faith, and all these things that are listed and more. Our hardship does not release us from that responsibility that we're supposed to make good on His grace and mercy. One, because it pleases Him, and two, it's like we are blessed and receive goodness from their example so others should in your life and mine. I had a child of mine message me, and this child was at work, and that child, as they were at work, walked into a conversation with other employees who were, for some reason, talking about God. And they're not really followers of Christ. Their life wouldn't exemplify that. But they were having this conversation. So one of my children, they worked there, and they went into this part of the workplace, and they said to this child of ours, you're like this, you're like that. And so it's one of my daughters. I did it in first service, but I was trying to do so much better this service. Anyhow, so she talks with them, and so she brings up this podcast of her dad and shows it to them. And whether they were in the store and they couldn't quite get the audio or whatever, but they watched and they were just like, that's why you're like you are. That's why. And the point that she was making to me is the impact of being an example. You see, and not that this is a great example, oh please, I want my children to be so much better than I am. I want them to be further along quicker. I want them to go so much further than their mother or I. But the point was being made that Dad, you were an example, and now I'm being an example, and it's impacting the people around me. You see, that's your call and mine. To be an example, as if the pages continued and our living every day was in writing that people could see and watch and read about you and I. Here's a marvelous thing about Jesus. Here he is in the middle of his crucifixion with a thief on either side. And one starts to show a little bit of mockery and resentment towards Jesus. And the other thief on the other side begins to talk across Jesus to that thief and rebukes him and says, we deserve what we're getting. But this man, Jesus, he's innocent. And Jesus looks at that thief and he saw faith. And he brings that birth into God's kingdom and says to him, I see faith in you. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Now here is Jesus in the middle of his own crucifixion, in the middle of his own hardship, and yet he's setting an example of caring for other people in the middle of our hardship, an example that they would find, an example of grace, an example of mercy, a saving grace. And you and I are called to be an example throughout the Scripture. Things for people to emulate, not because of we're greatness, but we get to say that's the Lord. Only the Lord could do that in us. Being an example that raises a standard that people can look at and find some kind of peace and hope and something that's good, something that draws them, something that is a bit of a synergy, and it raises them from where they're at to something they can become, all because of the touch of God in their life through your example, which really is the example of Christ who we follow, who is the ultimate standard. From private to public and everywhere in between. You see, no matter what we are dealing with or facing in our life, we are supposed to be an example even in the middle of it, one to please God, but the other to be that example to impact the people around us who can draw hope, who are struggling maybe with the same thing, or they have their own story, but the common ground is that there's conflict and life is hard. But even in the middle of its hardship, they look at a devoted follower of Christ and they still see an example of how to repent, how to make good on God's grace, an example of how to deal with hardship, an example of how to walk through life when you feel like you don't have enough of something or enough of something else, or if there's some poverty or you have been misrepresented or you have been, mistreated, whatever the scenario is, that they look at us and they still see an example of how to walk through that in our life. Just like Christ, in the middle of his hardship, he was still an example that was recognized, and a man was birthed into the kingdom of God through it. If the book was extended, would we be written about? And what example would people draw and say, I want that in my life? Would you stand with me, please? Called to be a current day Bible character. Really, an example. If you failed, you sinned, then be an example in how you repent. Be an example of how you're willing to go through the steps to be restored. If it's some other hardship, be an example during it, through it. You and I can hone our skills of being an example of how we act and how we talk and the attitude we allow in us or fight against when it's private, when we're all by ourselves. It's where we allow the Holy Spirit to hone that skill, that craft, that character.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.